that's not a mascot. That's, I don't even know what that is. But they'll say like, hey, this guy, he's got a nice bubble. They were two guys that really impressed us. What's up, draft nerds? Thanks for joining us today. My name's Ken Swanson. I'm one of the writers at Arrowhead Pride, and this is the AP Chiefs Draft Show. Thank you guys so much for listening. We were overwhelmed with all the responses and feedback we got last week. We had people listening in Brazil, in Korea, in the UK, in Canada. It was crazy. Really appreciate all the feedback. I'm joined today by my co-host on the show. You can find him on Twitter at Jacob Morley. He does draft work for Cheesehead TV. His name's Jake Stack. Jake, what kind of feedback have you got so far?
Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of positive feedback. I would say 50% of the feedback that I got was people asking me if I was related to Jack Stack. just to clear the air, I'm not related to Jack Stack at all. I wish I was. If I was related to Jack Stack, I'd be a much larger man. I actually grew up in North Dakota, so my parents didn't know anything about Jack Stack when they named me Jake. Funny story about North Dakota. Kind of a small world. I actually went to the same high school as Seth Kaiser, real MN Chiefs fan.
How weird is that?
It's really weird. So I
mean, that's a small world, man.
It is, and I just remember, you know, so Seth was older than me, and all of a sudden I see Kent tweeting at this guy. I'm like, wait, he looks familiar. And then I had no idea that he was writing for Arrowhead Pride and was a really good writer too. So it was pretty cool, pretty neat to kind of reconnect with him and see you kind of have your talks with him.
It's
pretty neat.
It's just a weird connection. It's like, you know, me and Jake were friends in college. That's kind of where we bonded. That's, you know, kind of how we started our relationship. And I mean, Jake goes farther back than like any of us with Seth. Like, I think that's just bizarre.
That's right. And I gotta give a shout out to, if Seth is listening, go Highliners.
I don't even know what that is.
That was our high school mascot.
That's not a mascot. I don't even know what that is.
Okay.
Well, we got a really good show planned for you today, guys. We have a lot of stuff to talk about. Me and Jake were at the NFL Combine this weekend, and it was a lot of fun. Got to connect with a lot of different people, got some information, stuff like that. We'll probably divulge a little bit of that here in a little bit. Jake, what was your favorite part of our trip to the Combine?
Yeah, I think the coolest thing for me, and being a longtime, you know, fan of the draft and kind of being a nerd about the process and all this stuff too, it was kind of neat just to connect with people that, you know, are way smarter than us and are way more connected than us, and just kind of get that little bit, you know, that peek behind the curtain a little bit and kind of see how things go and kind of how the process works, and not just, you know, the process of the combine, but just kind of off-season rumblings and things like that, just things that you kind of know about, but it's neat to just kind of hear that confirmed by guys that are in the know.
Yeah, we got some good information. I'll divulge a few little things that we heard. They're not really Chiefs specific. There was one thing that was a little Chiefs specific, but we asked around a little bit to a few people, and both me and Jake feel very good about our Jesse Bates grades, and that's before Daniel Jeremiah mocked him in the first round of his most recent mock.
Well, rumor mill, you know, I think Daniel Jeremiah actually he probably listened to the show last week.
Of course, that's true. That's a good point. He probably did.
Bumped his grade on him, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, and so Jesse Bates' grade, I have a second round grade on him. Jake actually has a round one grade on him, and I think the second round's probably a fair range for him. That was pretty good to see. Another thing that hasn't been really put out there in public yet, but there was a lot of rumblings that we heard about Harrison Phillips' knee not checking out really great in the medicals. That was something that was floating around a little bit there. So something worth keeping an eye on. I know Chief Bearcat's a Harrison Phillips guy, so we'll have to keep an eye on that one. It may not be good for your boy. A lot of cousins to the Vikings talk there. I mean, you heard a little bit of that too,
and
right?
I think that's becoming more mainstream now too. I've seen a couple of reports in the last couple of days that it's almost a foregone conclusion that that's what's going to happen. So kind of cool to be ahead of that a little bit and just kind of hear about it and then see it kind of come out on Twitter. And you know, we're still a week out of free agency. Who knows? That's something we heard a lot too, is with all this stuff, it always kind of being with the caveat of, this is the NFL.
Anything can happen.
Yep.
Yep. One other little thing, and this actually is a little bit Chiefs related. I don't know if this is, I'm sure it's probably out there somewhere, but it does sound like the Texans were kind of in on Pat Mahomes a little bit, right? I mean, I heard that a little bit too. I think he was specifically Bill O'Brien's guy. That was some rumblings out there too. So just, I mean, a couple of random tidbits. We heard some other stuff, but we're not newsbreakers. That's not really our job. So we've got a few guys that we need to kind of talk about, some grades that have changed. And these are all guys that were profiled on Arrowhead Pride on the draft miss list. Some guys we've actually talked about on the podcast that had some grade adjustments for their athletic testing scores. Jaire Alexander, for me, is now a first round pick. Believe it or not, his athletic testing was great. Did that adjust
for
you?
Yeah, he bumped up to a first for me because he ran super well. His vertical was good. Broad was good. Three cone was really good. He just, the only thing for him is he didn't measure in as tall as I thought he was. He's only 5'10". For some teams, that'll take him off the draft board because he's only 5'10". But he's a first-round talent as far as I'm concerned after that athletic testing.
Same with me. Hercules Mataafa, my guy, our guy, actually, he lost his first-round status. He tested, I think, in like the 17th percentile athletically on his Spark score.
It was really surprising.
Yeah.
I really expected him to test well, and he just did. He didn't. And even watching him live, it almost looked like he was pressing.
He looked nervous. Yep. He definitely looked nervous. Like, he was slipping all over the place. And even like kind of like the three cones and some of those aren't really broadcast, I don't think, as much on TV, but we were just watching him on the side because they're doing him while some of the other position drills are actually running. We were in the building for the defensive line linebacker group, so we were getting to watch the whole thing. He just looked nervous, but he's still a good football player. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's still a good football player, but he definitely lost.
And I think that's a good time to talk about, so what does the scouting combine mean as far as your draft grade? And I think it's a small percentage. It's a window that you can kind of, or a lens, excuse me, that you can kind of look through and say, does this athleticism that I see on tape, does it match up with the guy when he's specifically tested on it? And for a guy like Hercules, you know what? It's kind of one of those things that you have to go back and watch him again. Because the type of athlete you see on tape wasn't really what showed up in Indianapolis. Because even his other numbers, they just really weren't good.
Nope. Durance Armstrong, his 40 time wasn't great. I think all the other stuff was relatively good for him, but it's still based on the athletic percentile. His grade dropped for me down to a third round. He was kind of a fringe second, third guy. Christian Kirk, his testing didn't turn out so great as far as his overall athletic score. He dropped to a second round grade. One of the bigger winners for me was DJ Moore.
Yeah.
DJ Moore, he had an outstanding NFL combine, and he got first round grade status. So there was some grades that definitely got bumped, some that got dropped. It was kind of a mixed bag of those. All right, so we're going to talk about four different prospects today. Two were added to the draft miss list earlier this week, and then two more that we have not talked about at all that will be going on the draft miss list today. The first guy we're going to talk about today is Mike Gesicki. He's a tight end from Penn State, 6'5", 246 pounds, and he scored on the 99th percentile on the Spark score at the combine. And you know how all these tight end converts from basketball, we're always talking about, hey, did you know he played basketball? It's like a running joke. We're going to have a new one here because Mike Gesicki played volleyball.
Yeah, he did win a slam dunk contest, though. I do know that.
Wait, did he really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, that's awesome. I didn't know that.
Well, he's got a 41.5-inch vertical.
That makes sense. But the thing about Mike Gesicki, he's probably the bounciest tight end I've ever seen in my life, and the combine scores actually back that up. He has one of the biggest catch radiuses I have ever seen. He's a really fluid, smooth-moving route runner. I really like him there. What are some of the stuff you like about him, Jake?
I think what's cool about him is I think he's your modern-day move tight end. It was interesting to me because watching him, I think both of us were kind of like, gosh, this guy can't block. You know, I don't know if you really care anymore if your tight end can block. But he put up 21 or 22 on the bench, which I know that doesn't always translate to being a good blocker, but he's stronger than I thought he was.
I think that's part of why the Spark score is high, is because of some of those weightlifting scores. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like density and stuff like that. But so, like, one thing I really liked about him is he's got really good feet at the line of scrimmage, especially for a guy his size. And so that shows up with, like, his three-cone drill was special. He's got really good focus on a few catches. He's got good body control. He's the type of guy that will go up and get the ball. So it's kind of neat to see, like, oh, wow, that's because he's 6'5 with almost a 42-inch vertical. Of course he's doing that. So it's always good to see those things match up, because it doesn't always match up. Like, sometimes these guys come in and jump out of the gym, and you would have never known that by watching them play football. But he's a guy that is a really good football player that just so happens to be a special athlete, too. Mm-hmm.
Well, and, you know, I think he's kind of the modern-day version of an NFL tight end. I don't think he's a great blocker. In fact, I put, even in my article, I talked about, my joke was he blocks like a kicker. He looks awkward. He's not powerful. He has a hard time playing with leverage when he's trying to block. It's not a pretty sight. Some people said that he actually did better at the Senior Bowl blocking. I haven't found a ton of clips of it, of him doing it. So I'm going to have to check that out at some point. It doesn't matter to me, though, because I look at him and I see the traits that he has as an athlete, as a pass catcher. I think those line up perfectly with Patrick Mahomes. And that's really what we're trying to do, is we're trying to put athletes around a young pass catcher. And I think this guy has probably one of the biggest catch radiuses I've ever seen. I don't know about you.
Yeah. The one thing about him, though, is I had to go back and watch him, because when I first watched him, one thing that I thought about him was he seemed kind of linear, and he didn't have great flexibility. But then you would look at his scores and say, well, his combine scores say he does, but that's still something that bugs me a little bit with watching him run his routes, is I don't think he's super flexible in his routes. He's a little bit stiff, but that's okay. I mean, he wins in other ways. But yeah, you're absolutely right, like, because Mahomes is a guy that's going to be operating out of structure, and there's going to be times where things are going to go, you know, going to go haywire, and he's going to need a guy that can go make a play on the ball. And one thing that Gesicki can do is he wins at the catch point really well, and that would be something that's going to fit, yeah, super well with Mahomes.
Yeah, and I like the idea of using him as kind of like a big slot. Like, that's one thing I've talked about a little bit, is just maybe utilizing him as a big slot and going 12 personnel with him and Kelce and Tyreek Hill. And you know, there's a lot of vertically minded opportunities there, and I think that group particularly would be really difficult to defend, especially if you put some guy on the other side of those guys, like an X receiver with some speed, some downhill ability or downfield ability.
Man. Yeah, I don't know how you defend that. I mean, honestly, and the way tight end, like, it's so hard to find one good tight end, and you know, they're such a matchup nightmare. The quickest way to the end zone is the middle of the field, especially with a young tight end, a young quarterback. That's where he's going to want to work. He's going to want to move the ball in the middle of the field. Having two legit threats at the tight end position would be a nightmare for defenses, especially when you have a guy like Tyreek Hill. The thing with tight ends, though, too, is it's probably the slowest developing position in the NFL, which is kind of a bummer. Typically, you don't see rookies come in and light the league up unless it's your boy Evan Ingram.
Well, I was going to say, I'm going to counter to that a little bit, because, yes, I do agree. The thing with, like, some tight end transition is because they're asked to be a true inline tight end right away, there's a difficult transition trying to learn, you know, stuff that's involved on the line of scrimmage as a blocker and as a receiver. But you look at Evan Ingram, he was a guy that he came in right away, and he's really just a big receiver. I'm not sure Mike Gesicki is not just a big receiver, but he's just a really good big receiver. I think there's an opportunity for him to be able to have success early.
Especially with, he's got Kelce across the field from him, so he's not going to have to come in and say, hey, we need you to be our stud receiving threat at tight end right now. You already have that with Travis Kelce. So Gesicki, what can you do well for us? Let's give you three things.
Run him up the seam was one of them. I mean, you could even like run him as like an ISO guy. You know, if you tilt the field, you put Kelce and Hill over in the boundary, and you give Gesicki all the space in the world. Stuff like that. Like, there's a way to use him. I do think he's best using like just anything that's allowing him to do speed cuts. And I don't really think you want him changing direction a ton without, you know, being at full speed. I thought his hips were actually pretty fluid. I know you've kind of said you think he's a little bit stiff. I saw a little bit, and I thought his hips were pretty fluid, especially when he's running speed cuts, like, you know, outs and digs and stuff like that. So he's a guy I'm definitely interested in. I have an 81.9 grade on him. It's a second round grade. It was bumped up from a third round grade after the athletic testing, and I think he makes a lot of sense for the Chiefs.
Yeah. I still have him at, and I still may be a little bit low on him, because I have him at a 7.7, which is an early third. And yeah, I'd be more than willing to admit that, yeah, when he goes in the second, that's probably I'll probably be a little bit low on him.
Yeah, so that's a guy that I'm interested in. I know that it was kind of up for debate a little bit on Arrowhead Pride this week. It was kind of really good to see some of the feedback and the back and forth on that. I mean, he's not for everybody, but he's definitely a guy I'm interested in. The next guy is his name's Tim Settle. He's 6'3", 329 from Virginia Tech, and he's going to be 20 years old on draft day. He did not have a very good combine this weekend, but he's a Chiefs Kingdom darling. I know a lot of people that really like him as a prospect. I do too, but a second percentile athlete, Jake.
Yeah,
that's stunning.
He's bad. He's not bad. Sorry, he's not bad. But that was his performance was bad at the combine. There's no way he did not put up the numbers he wanted to.
When you put on his tape, you don't see a guy that's a terrible athlete. At least I don't. You know, I see some quickness and some strength, some agility, some flexibility. Like I saw a guy try to cut him, and he just bounced up really quickly. You know, he didn't have any issues there. But when you put him in the underwear Olympics, he just looks like, you know, the Pillsbury Doughboy. It was terrible. The things I like about him, I just think I think he's young. He's got a lot of upside. There was flashes of productivity, flashes of ability, and it's just a matter of him putting it all together. And I think his body needs to be reworked a little bit too. And if you get him into an NFL environment where he's having to rework his body, and he's having, you know, to work on his technique and grow, I think there's a way for him to thrive and develop nicely as an NFL defensive tackle. What do you think about him, Jake?
I know on the coverage, Mayock or someone said that they would like to see him play at 315, 310 range, and I agree with that because he carries. I think the way he carries it looks like bad weight.
Yeah.
And I watched him after the combine. I know you watched him before, so we had a little bit different view as watching him. So I'm watching him through the lens of, okay, so why is he a bad athlete? Like why didn't he test well at the combine? And the biggest takeaway I had with that is he's got a really good initial burst. Like I mean, he's got a good, powerful punch. But if you watch him closely, where I think he struggles with athleticism is in his feet. His feet will stop moving. He gets his shoulders twisted pretty easily and can get rerouted and redirected. And he's on the ground a ton.
A lot. That is a big issue I had with him too.
If you watch the Pittsburgh game, I counted him getting pancaked 5 times after the fact. I noticed, wow, he's on the ground a lot. And I think a lot of that is because he's a limited athlete. And I think his feet kind of get out from underneath him, and he gets kind of out in front of his skis, and he's got all that weight, and he ends up getting pancaked, and then you can't really make a play on the ground.
Yeah, and one of the issues I had with him, I don't think he's particularly disciplined yet either.
Sure.
Sometimes teams will isolate interior defensive linemen on like run plays, basically leaving them as the unblocked man. You like with a zone read, you'll normally see the end be unblocked so they can read that guy. I saw a couple instances where Tim Settle was the guy being read, and he looked lost. He had no idea where the ball is or what was happening. He just got completely off guard, which is why you do that on offense. But he had no real great awareness. Those are, you know, there's some things he definitely needs to work on. You're absolutely right, Jake. I completely agree with that. He's on the ground way too much. His moments of disruption are really interesting to me, especially for a guy that looks like if you reworked his body and the fact that he's only 20 years old, that's a guy that you can develop. And so I have a third round grade on him. Jake, what did you have on him?
I have a fourth, and I'm dogging on him, but really I liked a lot of what he brings to the table too. And that's a position that if you have that first initial burst, like I was talking about, that's really all you need. He may not be a guy that's ever going to get you 5 sacks, but I think he's a guy that if you work with him, like you said, he's a 20-year-old guy. He looks pretty strong. He could 2-gap for you. I really think he could. Mm-hmm. So I think he's in the third to fourth range. That's kind of what you're looking for. Is a guy that, you know, maybe doesn't have everything right now, but definitely has a few traits that are really workable. And I think everything he has, I mean, the athleticism is a red flag, but everything else looks like it's coachable.
Right, and I think that's what you're banking on is your ability to develop him. Now, whether he has the football character to be able to do that, I have zero idea. But I think you could put him in a situation where he's getting, you know, some rotational opportunities early and just kind of work him in as time goes along. I think he could still contribute in some capacity this year. But that's a guy, you know, I think I dropped based on his athletic testing. He was a late second. Now he's a third round grade. So I'd definitely take a look at him. I know there's varying opinions on him, but he's a guy I really like. Okay, so those two, you can find write-ups on them on Arrowhead Pride right now. They, I think they posted on Wednesday. We're going to add two different players to the draft miss list today that haven't been written up on yet, but they were two guys that really impressed us when we were at the combine watching them run drills. And the first guy is a guy named Kylie. How about that? I've screwed that up so many times this week. You have no idea. His name's Kylie Fitz, and he's 6'4", 263-pound edge rusher from Utah. He's going to turn 24 his rookie year. He's kind of an older prospect. But he was an 82nd percentile spark score this week, which helped give him a little bit of a bump for me. I like him. What do you think about him, Jake?
I like him. I liked him a lot. Watching him in the drills, the biggest, like, everything he was doing was smooth. He's got really good hips. He could change. He changes directions really well at multiple levels. The thing with him, when you watch him at Utah, he played end. I want to see him in a 3-4 where he's going to have a little bit more space between him and a tackle. I think he can do a lot with his lateral movement ability because what he really struggled with at Utah was disengaging sometimes, but he's really smooth up the field. He's a really good athlete. He's good enough to stay on his feet when he gets cut. What I thought was really fun with him is teams were obviously game planning for him, and which is cool because this is a guy I didn't know a ton about before the combine. So to see, like, other colleges had a ton of respect for him. There was one particular play where I forget who he was playing, but they're running an outside zone, and he was on the backside. And typically, the backside end, you don't block him. They blocked him. They went after him because I think they just knew from scouting him, like, this guy can go make a play. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty neat to see.
I like him. You know, I think he's one of, like, he's just a dense athlete. Like, he's big and a long. He's got a really great build. And he moves extremely well for a guy his size. I was surprised at how well he dropped in coverage. His hips were really smooth. You saw that in the combine drills too. I just was very impressed by how fluid of a mover he was for a guy his size. You see guys with long, you know, long builds, but this guy's dense too. He's very stout and he's pretty powerful. I think he can go speed to power pretty nice. He's got a really nice inside counter move. He should be able to set a good edge pretty quick too.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And he had, he's a strong guy. He put up 31 on the bench. He's got, I think he's got 33-inch arms. Yeah, he does. So he's got, I mean, he's got a lot to work with. Big thing for him though is he was dinged up quite a bit at Utah. I do know that. I think he redshirted and had a medical redshirt. I could be wrong about that, but he's an older prospect.
You know, my thing with him, I don't think he's particularly consistent yet. I didn't think he played with great leverage and hands all the time. I think he was actually pretty on the below average side, honestly, there. And I didn't see him really bend the edge a ton.
I think it's there, but it's not consistent.
Right.
The first line in my notes of his negatives is everything positive listed is in no way consistent.
Yeah. No, and I'm totally with you on all of that. Like, you watch him and you see flashes. And the thing that's, you know, the thing that about him is, like, if he was a 21-year-old, and if he had 3 years, you know, more opportunities to develop coming out of the draft, he'd probably be like a second round pick. But you're looking at a 24-year-old guy that has a lot of inconsistencies in his game, albeit great athletic, you know, profile. Those, it's going to be interesting to see where he goes, because I think there's a lot there. It's just a matter of developing technique and all that stuff.
And there's a way of thinking out there that, you know, some people will say, well, when you're 24, you're no longer a prospect.
Right.
And so that is older. And so the thought, the theory behind that is when you're 24, you're pretty much maxed out physically.
Right. But him physically,
he's fine.
The physical traits are not what I'm worried about. It's just more about his ability, you know, to continue to develop with his technique, with leverage, with hands.
He doesn't have a plan.
And I don't think he had a great his repertoire was poor. It really was. Like, there's an inside tech, you know, he's kind of got like a little inside counter and a power rush, a bull rush. But that was about it. I give him a fourth round grade though still, because this is a guy, these are the kind of guys that, I mean, athletic traits are there. You just need to try to work and develop technique. And I, you know, if he gets into a system where he's getting to do football full time, it might not be as long of a learning curve for him. Mm-hmm. I think he makes sense for the Chiefs. I think he could be a rotational player in a limited role, and I think he might be able to, you know, like for he might be decent setting the edge quick. It just might be a matter of what kind of pass rush juice you can get out of him. So he's a guy I wouldn't be upset with the Chiefs taking a look at in the fourth round. He is making the draft miss list. He's a guy that I would be very happy with the Chiefs, you know, getting a look at. We got one more prospect today, and this might be my favorite, one of my new favorite prospects in this entire class. And he really impressed us. He came out of nowhere, like when we were watching him at the combine, like he was just very surprising as an athlete. His name's Josh Sweat, 6'5", 251 pounds from Florida State. Entered as a junior, is turning 21 in a couple weeks. He's not even 21 yet, and he scored in the 96th percentile of a Spark score, which is just, it's remarkable how great he looked when we were there in Indianapolis watching him running drills.
Yeah, and I like the phrase I gave him. I call him a Gumby pass rusher.
Yep.
Because he can contort his body and still move upfield with so much speed and power. It's unreal. If you go watch his tape against NC State, 1 minute into the game, like, he's bent over, like, in a weird way, but he's still just walking the O-tackle back into the backfield. And then on top of it, he somehow has the wherewithal to make the play on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at that, and usually when a guy gets their shoulders kind of turned around like that, you're like, he's in trouble because he's going to start getting manipulated with where he's going. But he does it consistently. His flexibility and lateral movement, it's special.
It is very special. And, you know, okay, so this is probably a little TMI. I normally sit there, and when I'm watching prospects, it's normally at night when my wife goes to bed. And every now and then, You'll have a few plays that like just make you like jump up, like out of just like, oh, this is incredible. Like, you know, just really cool, like an incredible moment. Those are the prospects that get me excited. I had a couple of those last night when I was watching. I just kind of like sat up real quick. I was like, wow, that's incredible. He just flashes some like really special ability, and his athleticism pops on the tape. He's dense, he's long, he's fast, he's quick. He can go speed to power. He's pretty stout at the point of attack, I thought.
Yep. He does a good job of using his length too. I mean, he's got 34-inch arms, which I'm a firm believer in that stuff does matter. Like, some people get sick of that, but if you use it well, and it's all how you use it. If you got short arms, you can still be fine if you know how to use them well. But it just gives you some wiggle room, and he's got long arms, and I think he does a pretty good job with them.
When he plays with great leverage, it's outstanding, and it's really, really fun to watch. I think he has the potential to be great, not just good. Like, he's one of those guys that just has the athletic traits to potentially be great someday. Now, whether or not he hits that goal, I don't know. There's a lot of inconsistency in his game, and he's got some medical history that's probably going to make him is probably going to ding him a little bit too.
Yeah, for sure. And there's a reason he wasn't super great at Florida State, even with all that athletic ability. So. It's going to take the right coach. It's going to take the right system to really get into and tap out that potential. If they can hit, he's
right.
He could be special.
Yeah, he's got to work on his eye discipline. It's not always there. I mean, everything's just inconsistent. When he was the read guy in his zone read, like, I wasn't super impressed. I don't know if it was his eyes or if it was just poor change of direction. It might have been a little bit of both. But I think it's there. I have a third round grade on him. He's still really young, even though his medical grades aren't great. I mean, he's just an athletic freak, and he's a guy I would love to see the Chiefs develop. And you already know that guy's going on the draft miss list. I'm very interested in to see where he goes. I've heard some people say he might be a second round grade, so, or a second round pick. So we'll see.
Those guys are hard to find. Like that. That's what it comes down to. Is if you have that type of length and athletic ability, they don't grow on trees, you know. Receivers, corner, like those guys, like there's a lot of those guys.
You can find value a lot of different rounds,
but
yeah,
that's why these guys go high, because they're tough to find.
And I think that's part of why athletic measurables are so important with this whole process. Is, you know, A guy with limited athleticism is probably always going to have limited athleticism, whether or not he's, you know, a really talented football player. It's the guys that are able to, you know, maximize their ceiling with their athletic traits, melding them with, you know, some of the mental stuff. So he's definitely a guy that could turn into a very, very, very good football player. Okay, so that's it for the prospects this week. And we do have a scouting term of the week. Jake, what is it this week?
Yeah, so last week, just to recap, was body beautiful. Used that a lot this week. Tried to slip that into as many sentences as I could.
Well, and shout out to, like, we had a couple of people using body beautiful as like a hashtag on
hashtag,
Twitter,
yeah,
and all that stuff. So shout out to everybody that was using body beautiful.
So this week, so it kind of goes hand in hand with body beautiful. It's just more specific, and you may hear this, especially they use it about like bigger guys, but they'll say like, hey, this guy, he's got a nice bubble. And you may be like, what does that mean? I know what a bubble is. But that's like his butt. He's got like a good, like he's got a good butt. And the reason you want a guy with a good butt or a good bubble is because typically if you have a nice bubble, it means you can anchor well. It means you got a lot of muscle in there. It means that you can probably hold your ground and not get moved around that much.
I know Matt Miller, NFL draft scout on Twitter, got in trouble. Well, like last summer, everybody was just giving him a really hard time because he was fawning over someone's bubble, and it was some defensive lineman's butt, and his lower body, you know, it's just basically a guy that's able to, like you said, anchor. He's not really going to get moved. He's going to have a hard time being moved off the ball because he's just got an immense and dense lower body.
Like I know this is dating a couple of years ago, but like Dontari Poe, when, yep, he came out of Memphis.
I was about to use that example anyway.
Bubble. He had a bubble.
Yeah, Dontari had a bubble. I'm trying to think if anybody really has a bubble.
Chris Jones, maybe, but not really. He's more of a lanky kind of guy.
I'll tell you what. If you guys want to reach out to us on Twitter and tell us who you think has the best bubble on the Chiefs, and if you want to say Patrick Mahomes just because Patrick Mahomes is your president, that's fine.
Patrick Mahomes has the best everything.
He has exactly. I called him today Aaron Rodgers, but more handsome. Like that was my comp for Mahomes. His future is just Aaron Rodgers, but more handsome.
You tell me when he's dated Olivia Munn.
Yeah, that's true. He's got a ways to go there, and he's going to have a hard time. He's going to have a really hard time trying to find a girl like Olivia Munn when he sounds like Kermit the Frog, like with a sore throat. Like that's just that's my comp for him. He's just like he is a frog. He's like a, he got a frog in his throat. No, he is a frog. Like he just sounds like a coarse Kermit the Frog.
Man, I wish you were wrong.
No,
but you're not.
No. Well, guys, that's it for this week. Really appreciate y'all taking the time to hang out with us. We'll be back next week. We got more to talk about. You can find me on Twitter at Kent_Swanson if you ever want to talk draft. You can find Jake at Jacob Morley on Twitter. We're both there. We're always ready to talk prospects. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you guys next week.